Verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Keep your Bibles open there. I'm going to come back to it shortly. Thank you, Father, for this book. And thank you for a way we can have friends. Be close. Be knit together. I pray for those poor, poor people tonight who do not have a close relationship with anybody. I pray you'd help them to see why tonight. I sure would like to help a lot of people. To before they go out, go to heaven, and this life is over, to know the joy of closeness. Bless our study. Amen. Look at Matthew chapter 11. And just a few comments, and then I want to give you some things that will help you. And I promise you tonight, if you'll just pay attention, listen carefully, I promise you that you're going to find one of the great secrets to life. Come unto me, verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. That means two things, all of you that are working hard and all of you that have a heavy load to bear. Now, I promise you that 95% of the people in this room qualify right here. Are you tired? And in spite of the fact that you're tired, you got a heavy load to bear. It's bad enough to be tired. But when you're tired and you have an extra heavy load to bear, what's the answer? It says, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Now, that look at me now. Listen to me. That doesn't mean I'll put you to bed. The doctor says, quit your Sunday school class. That's not what God said. Doctor says you need to quit serving God for a while. Let somebody take your place. That's not what God says. Okay, let's look at that rest. He said, come to me if you're tired and have a heavy burden, I'll give you rest. Now, here's the rest. Take my yoke upon you. Or look at me. That's the way you get rest. Taking my yoke upon you. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God said the way you get rest if you're weary is working with him. Take my yoke upon you. Now what does that mean? That means like a couple of mules that are in the same yoke and they're pulling the same plow together. God says the way you get rest is working. Now, hear me carefully. Not working for him, but working with him. See? So when you work with him, now, folks that work for him get tired. Folks that work with him don't get tired. Now, I'm not saying that you'll never get physically tired. I'm saying that if you have a heavy burden to carry, and if you're tired, that then you get in yoke with him, and look at it now, take my yoke upon you, and learn of me. Now, how do you learn it? Well, it's interesting. He didn't say go to a Bible study in somebody's home and learn of me. He didn't even say go to a Bible study and learn of me. You won't learn of Jesus? You don't learn of Jesus in some deeper life church's so-called Bible study. You learn of Jesus when you work for him. That's the way you learn about anybody. Anybody in the world, if you want to learn something about him, work with them, and I'll get to that after a while. But no, you won't learn of Jesus in a church that's not a soul-winning church. Because you learn about him when you work with him, getting the same yoke. I hadn't thought about this in years. And some of you won't even believe this, but that doesn't make any difference. I used to go down in the summertime to my uncle Roy's farm a lot, work on the farm. Now wake up. We're in church now. Wake up. And get interested enough to stay awake. Get interested in God enough and his Bible enough to stay awake. I used to go down to Uncle Roy's farm. He had several mules down there, and he had one mule that wouldn't plow with any other mule except one mule. Anybody else ever have anything like that? Just this mule. You put another mule with him. Now, one mule he'd plow with, but you put another mule there, no way. Now, the Bible says if you want to learn of Jesus, you take his yoke. And that means you get in the same yoke with him and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest. How do you get rest? By going to work for God. Oh, doctor, I'm just worn out. What do you think I ought to do? Well, a doctor's got any sense, he'll say, you ought to get your Sunday school class and build it. Or the doctor may prescribe a bus route. I'm worn out already. Okay, I know. It says right here, if you labor, if you're tired, and you have burdens, and you want some rest, get in the yoke and work with God. And it says, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Look at me. I'm going to give you 10 statements tonight if you listen carefully. If not, I'm going to give you 27. I'm going to give you 10 statements tonight. And every one of these statements has to do with being close. Let me ask you a question. Don't raise your hand. Don't answer me. Are you wishing you had a close friend? Are you one of those people that says, I'm not, I asked a lady the other day. She's having some nervous problems, and I said, who is your best friend? And she didn't surprise me. She said, I don't have a best friend. Well, I said, who are you close to? And she said, I guess I'm not really close to anybody. And I wasn't surprised. Now, tonight, everybody wants to be close to somebody and have some close ties in life. Now, I'm going to teach you how. Number one, friendship is a result of work, not leisure. See what I said? Friendship is a result of work, not leisure. Jesus didn't say, come to me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and we shall sit down by the river and talk. No, friendship does not come by leisure. Dr. Evan, a while ago, we've never played golf together. We've never been on vacation together. Every time we've been on an airplane together, I was going to work to preach somewhere. Brother Colston, have we ever played golf together? Have we ever bowled together? Have we ever had a picnic together? Have we ever gone fishing together? We don't even like each other. But I promise you, there is not a pastor, an associate pastor in the world today as close as Jack Hiles and Johnny Colston. Why? Because we work together. And a friendship is a result of work and not leisure. So if you want to be close to somebody, you've got to work with that somebody. I'm in my waiting room. I'm not right now. But I'm not my waiting room. And Miss Colston sitting here at the organ, and the bride is up there in the room getting ready. And the groom and the best man are with me in the waiting room, and I am asking the groom some things about their courtship because I'm going to perform the ceremony. I want to find out some things about them. First question I always ask, where did you see her the first time? Not when did you meet her, when did you see her the first time? I'll promise you, of all the students at Howells Anderson College that get married, that two-thirds of them say, I saw her on a bus route. Now we're going to have a lot of single gals join the bus ministry. I saw her on a bus route. I'm saying, why? What is it? Listen to me now. Talk when you get home. Listen to me while I'm giving you something. I'm gonna choke it down. You will stay here at 11:30 if I've got to give you these 27 points. If you want to be close, you get close to somebody by working with them, not by leisure. Number two, to know someone requires work and activity. To know someone requires work and activity. You never know anybody until you work with them. Why? Because leisure is not the real world. You young folks that your entire courtship is having fun together, you're not living in a real world. You're not preparing yourself to marry. Because you spend your entire courtship having fun. Your entire courtship is leisure. Then all of a sudden you get married and you got to shovel the snow and fix the commode that's broken and you got to clean the house and pay the bills, and then reality sets in and you're not prepared to marry because you have spent your entire courtship in leisure, and leisure does not let you know anybody. You don't know how she's going to be when she has to work all day. You don't know how she's going to be when you work with her. Now listen, folks, I want to tell you something. If you want to get close to somebody and know somebody, you've got to work with them. I know these men up here. I know these guys. Because we spend hour upon hour upon hour together working. Every Saturday morning, Ray Young over here. Every Saturday morning at 8:30, Ray Young, Don Boyd, Tom Vogel, Mike Sisson, and Bob O'Clair. We get in that office in there, and we take care of the work of the schools, Hammond Baptist Grade School, Junior High School, City Baptist, the finances, and make the decisions together. And we labor and labor and labor and labor. We never play golf together, and we never go bowling together, and we never have any leisure together. I'm saying we work together, and we're a close bunch. If you want to get close to somebody, sweat. Work. Now, by the way, the same thing's true with God. Now, you listen carefully to me. These ascetics that go alone with the Lord God and spend time, all their time alone with God, they don't get to know God. Are you listening to me? He said, take my yoke up on you and learn of me. You're not close to God because you read your Bible all the time. You're not close to God because you pray all the time. Nobody is close to God unless they, according to what the Apostle Paul said, we are laborers together with God. And as you labor with God, the Bible said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Oh, how close he is to God. Hey, I spend 20 hours every week, at least 20 hours praying, but that's not why I'm close to God if I am. I spend at least 10 hours a week in this book, doing nothing but reading and studying this book, at least 10 hours a week. That's 30 hours a week I spend either in prayer or Bible study, but that's not why I'm close to God. You don't get close. Jesus did not say, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and read the Bible. Though you're supposed to read the Bible, but that's not how you learn of him. He did not say, pray and learn of me. He said, take my yoke upon you. Hey, listen to me. If you want to get close to God, get in the yoke. We are laborers together with God. That's the crowd that's close to God. Nothing irritates me anymore than these self-styled, deeper life, backslidden people thinking they know closer to God. Listen, brother, that man right there is close to God. Jeff Owens is close to God because Jeff Owens is reaching these people around this area with God, trying to get these high school Bible club people, these public school kids. That's why he's close to God. And Bob Hooker is close to God, not because Bob spends a lot of time in the Bible, though he should, and he does. But the reason he's close to God, because he goes up there to the sailors on Saturday and goes up and down the streets up there in Great Lakes and reaches old sailor for God. He's in the same yoke with God. And you are just as close to God as you are in the yoke working and pulling the load with God. Boy, that's good stuff. I said, number one, friendship is a result of work, not leisure. I said, number two, to know someone requires work or activity. And I want to say this again. Some of you kids, young people that are courting each other, and all you do is write your notes and Gucci, I love you, and go bowling together and play miniature golf together and eat together and you don't do anything else. Hey, study together. Go soul winning together. Build a bus route together. Do some work together. Get in the real world and live. If all you've done is have fun on your dates and that's all you've done, you're not prepared to marry because you've lived in a world of fantasy and an unreal world and you don't know how to face reality until you learn to work with each other, you're not prepared to get married. Listen, I'm serious about this. I'm talking to you. That's one reason the divorce rate is so high. We court in a world that's not real and marry and live in a world that is real. Boy, I hope you're getting this. Why don't some of you folks on, hey, why don't some of you young couples in college, why don't you plan a soul winning date? Well, you say we can't go together. Let Dr. Jorgensen go with you. Or Dr. Evans. Don't ask me to go, I'm busy. But look, You got to get, if you go on a date together, you got to get a chaperone. Why don't you chaperone to go soul winning? Take my yoke! I don't care whether it's with God, or whether it's with your wife, or whether it's with your husband, or whether it's with your girlfriend, or your boyfriend, or a person who's a good friend of the same sex that you are, I don't care what it is, you're not going to learn people till you work with them. You're not going to get close to people you work with. And that's what Jesus said. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Number three. Those who know me best are those who carry my yoke. Those who know me best are those who carry my yoke. These guys on the platform here and others out in the audience, we've been through some pretty tough times together. There have been times when some of us sat in the office and just cried. We've been through some pretty tough times. Now, if all we were was golfing buddies, we wouldn't be close. We're work buddies. I'm going to shock you. There was not a person in America, including his own children, who was as close to John R. Rice the last 20 years of his life as Jack Hiles was. We didn't play together. We worked together. Others played golf with him. He and I worked together. Others went bowling. I'm not saying... We never played golf. Once or twice we did play golf. Once or twice in 20 years. I can think of two or three times we went bowling together in 20 years. But he had bowling buddies and golf buddies. But he and I carried this country on our shoulders together. And that's how we got close. I asked him one time. I said, I was just turning 30. In fact, we formed a team. He asked me to join him sort of as a team. When I was still in my 20s, we were preaching together all over America. When I was in my early 30s, I said, Dr. Rice, why did you choose me? There are all kinds of big preachers around the country you could have chosen. Here I'm just a young preacher. Why did you choose me? And Dr. Rice said, hear me carefully. He said, because you and I are the same. And he quoted 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I think it is. I think it's verse 28. He quoted that verse where it says, Paul said, God has given me the care of all the churches. And he said, Dr. Brother Hiles, he said, I have carried the load of the care of all the churches all these years, and I feel like you have the same burden for America that I have. And Dr. Rice and I got in the same yoke together to try to save this country, and we didn't play together, and we didn't... We went in the afternoon when we finished preaching and having a question-answer time. We didn't go out and play. We went to our rooms, and he went to work, and I went to work. Came back that night. He preached, and I preached. We were not golfing buddies, bowling buddies, picnic buddies, fun buddies. We were working buddies, and I promise you, not one person in this world was as close to John Rice as I was in the last 20 years of his life. Why don't you and I go out and have some fun together? I want to have a friend. You don't have friends that way. You have friends when you carry their yoke. And you are close to people when you... Now, follow me carefully. Hey, don't miss this. Brother Eddie and I go bowling together, let's suppose. We never have. Let's suppose we're bowling together. Okay, Brother Eddie, who do you want to win? You want to win? I want to win, too. Are we in the same yoke? Are we wanting the same thing? Yes or no? So we may become enemies. But we are not pulling the same yoke. He's pulling one way. I'm pulling the other way. Same way with any kind of a game. You can play checkers with somebody. Mrs. Howes and I went on a cruise with the Rices one time. Dr. Rice liked to play dominoes. I never played with him. Never did. He had other folks play dominoes, but they weren't close to him like I was. But we went on a cruise together one time, and we played some dominoes together one night. Now, Dr. Rice could play dominoes like nobody's business. He was great at dominoes. And 42, is that 42? Is that a good word up here? 42, it's a domino game. Are you not listening, or you don't know what 42, how do you know what 42 is? Well, it's right after 41, stupid. But it's a game with dominoes. We sat on a boat with Dr. and Ms. Rice. Ms. Howes and I played them in dominoes. They beat us probably 10 games. And Dr. Rice had the time of his life. Now, I had a miserable night myself. Then we beat him one game. He didn't say one word. Didn't say a word. He took the dominoes, put them in the box. Didn't say good night. Didn't say I had fun. Didn't say let's do it again tomorrow night. He didn't say anything. He left his wife at the table with us. He put those dominoes, remember? He put those dominoes in the box, walked to his room without saying good night, God bless you, kiss my foot, or anything, and pouted the rest of the night. I decided never to play dominoes with John Rice again. But when we preached in a great meeting, we're trying to save this nation. He got in the yoke over here, and I got in the yoke over here, and we weren't trying to beat each other together. We're trying to beat somebody else. And that's how we got close, and that's how you get close. Number one, friendship is a result of work, not leisure. Number two, to know someone requires work and activity. Number three, those who know me best are those who carry my yoke. Number four, hear me carefully. If you have no friends, and I'm talking about real friends now, it is because you carry no one's yoke. Oh, but he has a lot of friends. He has a good personality. Good personalities don't make friends. Oh, what charisma he has. Charisma doesn't make friends. W-O-R-K makes friends. What? You have no friends tonight. You quit your whining and your pouting. Nobody likes me. Well, I don't blame them. Get to work. You care and carry somebody's yoke. Number five. Oh, listen to this carefully. Listen carefully. A friendship built on fellowship will not last. A friendship built on fellowship will not last. Likewise, a courtship built on pleasure will not last. Because, as I said a while ago, a friendship built on fellowship is a friendship not built on reality. A courtship built on pleasure and fellowship is not built on reality. Life is real. Life is work. Life is getting up early. Life is sweating. Life is toiling. Life is sacrificing. Listen, I can take you to church after church after church in America that went through things. I've preached this to you before. Brother, I can take you to churches who've been through things and been through battles, and the church was pulled together, and we were united, and the pastor was close to the people, and the people were close to the pastor, and then they got through and won the victory, and when they won the victory, they fell apart. Why? Because the thing that pulled them together was a common cause of work and labor, the same yoke. And it was not. A fellow came one time to me, and he said, Brother, how's it been in this church? He's a deacon, by the way. I don't know how you ever got on the deacon board. You elected him. I didn't vote for him. He said, my wife and I been here for 5 years. We're going to join another church. I said, why? He said, because we don't have enough social life here at First Baptist Church. And he said, we have not developed any friends. We're going to go to a church that has more social life so we can have more friends. And I'll bind you by cracky. I'll bind you, amen, praise the Lord. I'll bind you. That couple hasn't found any friends yet. You don't find friends playing together. You don't fellowship to get close. You work to get close. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Number six, wanting to be with someone is selfish. Wanting to carry someone's yoke is unselfish. Hear me carefully. In all the years Dr. Rice and I traveled together, I never one time wondered if he loved me. I didn't have to have him love me. All I had to do was love him. I don't know to this day where I was on his list of friends, nor do I care, nor did I have to care. When I saw his shoes wearing out, I bought him another pair. If I saw a suit that a little bit worn, listen to me, I bought him another suit. If I saw his coffee cup half empty, I filled it up. But now, wait a minute. If somebody else filled that coffee cup up, I'd been just as pleased. I wasn't interested in me filling Dr. Rice's coffee cup. I was interested in him having a full coffee cup. I'm simply saying tonight that if you want to be close to somebody and you try to get, I've got to make friends. We've got to make friends. You don't make friends. You work friends. And by the way, ain't no way for two mules to be in the same yoke without being close to each other. No way. I'll tell you another thing, too. I plowed enough in the summertime for Uncle Roy. Those mules got to know when one pull. You get a couple of mules together, and I'm not any big farmer, but you know this better than I, Dr. Evans. You got to train those mules to work together. My Uncle Harvey, I've seen my Uncle Harvey with one mule pulling the plow. Uncle Harvey, Uncle Roy, Uncle Harvey was a real estate man. You know what a mule is. You think Santa Claus comes with reindeer, mules pulling in a sleigh, but I've seen Uncle Roy. I've seen him go to sleep plowing, sitting up on the plow, and when the mule got to the end of the row, he turned around and went back the other way with Uncle Roy sound asleep. They knew each other. They understood each other. They got along better. The mule got along better with Uncle Roy than some of you folks get along with each other. And you know why? Listen, do you know why you don't like somebody? Because you don't carry their yoke. You invest in somebody and carry their yoke, and you'll like that somebody. Russ Landers and I were sitting together on the airplane one time. I was reading the sport page, he was reading the stock markets. Those stock markets look like so much cursing to me. He's reading the futures market. He looked at me and he said, don't you like the futures market? I was reading Revelation. I said, I'm reading my futures market right now, Revelation. You know why he's reading? I never look at the stock market. You know why? Well, I should. I own one share. I saw you grinning. I own one share of stock. Ray Bordwick gave it to me for a birthday present one time, I think it was, because Hershey's company, because Hershey's makes Reese's peanut butter cups. That one share, it makes me about $1.25, $1.50 a year. And it cost me $5 extra for the income tax people to fill it out. But I don't read the stock market. You know why? I don't have anything invested in the stock market. Listen. I'm interested in that fella right there. You know why? I got something invested in him. I got something invested in that man. I got something invested. And I'm not trying to get close. I'm trying to make Ed Lapina the best Ed Lapina he can be for God. And I'm trying to make Ray Young fulfill his potential for God. And the same thing with you fellows on the other side too. I'm trying to make you guys fulfill your potential for God. And I've got something invested in you guys. And because I have, I love you. I watch you. I'm interested in you. Not because I want to get close. I want to be your friend. Do you like him or me best? I don't care if you like him or you're me best. As long as I can invest in you, I'm interested in you, and it's time that you wouldn't be pouting all the time. You wouldn't be fussing all the time. You wouldn't have enemies all the time if you would quit trying to get close to somebody and invest. Get in the same yoke with them and work. And as a delightful bonus, closeness follows. Number 7, sharing the yoke. I've already said this, requires closeness. Number 8, fellowship. Oh, listen to this. Listen carefully. Boy, I better get this. I'm going to have to walk around a lot. Fellowship is a destroyer of friendship. If you want to get angry with another couple, just become eating buddies with them. You'll get so close in fellowship that what you'll want is close. Now, wait a minute carefully. You wait till another couple asks them out. And you'll get jealous. You know why? Because fellowship is a destroyer of friendship. Now, you'll sit here tonight, and you listen to what I'm saying, and it makes sense, but you'll go right out of here, and you'll destroy a friendship, totally destroy a friendship. Why? Because you're building that friendship on fellowship. Not a single one of our friendships up here is built on fellowship. You and I ever eaten, have you ever eaten in my house? Unless I was gone, you have, but you better not be eating my house while I'm gone. Have you ever eaten in my house? Have I eaten in yours? Have you ever eaten in my house? Have I eaten in yours? You ever eaten in my house? Have I eaten in yours? Never invited us, have you? You take that towel if I come. You're going to keep that towel and I won't come. Now look, I'm trying to tell you something, folks, that you're killing your friendship trying to keep it alive on fellowship. You don't fun together, you work together. Now I'll tell you something else too. We laugh more, those of us who share the same yoke, we laugh more than people that build their relationships on fellowship. Jack Scott's not up here, is he? He's up there. He's my son-in-law. Well, I don't have fellowship, what we call fellowship, with him 3 times a year. Have you ever tried to have fun with him? Now, but we carry the same load. We talk about sermons. We talk about the work. We are in the same yoke with each other. And I promise you, there's not a father-in-law feels any closer to any son-in-law in the world than I feel to Jack Scott. But we're not saying, let's get close, let's get close, let's get close, let's get close. We got to get close. Okay, close, 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 close. You don't do it that way. You work, 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 and all of a sudden, as a wonderful byproduct, you get close to each other. I'm saying fellowship is a destroyer of friendship because it has lost its purpose when it deteriorates to just being fellowship. May I tell you why many couples break up? The children are grown. They don't have the same yoke anymore. They're pulling that yoke, trying to rear the children and train the children and take care of the children and feed the children and house the children. All of a sudden, the children take Mrs. Donald Trump, the new one. It can't last. It can't last. It's built on fantasy and not reality. No way it can last. That's why the Hollywood crowd has whore after whore after whore and husband after husband, wife after wife after wife. Why? Because they're basing their everything on an unreal world. If you want to get close to somebody, you live in a real world, and a real world is working. Number 9. The quickest way to drift apart is to try to keep the enjoyment that came from a yoke. The quickest way to drift apart is to try to keep the enjoyment that came from the yoke. Enjoyment comes from the same yoke. You don't try to keep it anymore than you tried to get it. John, you and I are not trying to stay close to each other. We're trying to work together. And because we work together, we're close to each other. Dr. Evans, you and I, you don't say, do you still like me? You're afraid that's it, aren't you? Most of you are just like I was when I had a little girlfriend in the 3rd grade. Her name was Shirley Ray Warren. I hate to tell Ms. Hiles I had another girlfriend, but Shirley Ray Warren. I wrote and I said, dear Shirley, do you like me? She wrote back and said, dear Jack, I like you and Billy. Didn't move me a bit. Ms. Hiles and I were dating. I was in the Army defending the country, risking my life, peeling potatoes on KP. Christmas time came. She sent me a picture. Love, Beverly. Yeah. But I found out later she had 3 copies made, sent one to Charlie Dickerson, one to Jocks Wilkerson. She still sends them Christmas presents every year. Now, when Shirley Ray Warren wrote me back and said, I like you and Billy, then I figured out some way to run down Billy. And that's why you run down people, because you try and run yourself up. I had heard Billy say a bad word one time. He said Southern Baptist. I had heard him say a bad word one time. I said, dear Shirley, Billy cusses. What was I trying to do? I was trying to get Shirley close to me and me close to Shirley in an unreal world. And it never works. You get close to somebody when you pull the same load. a husband or a wife rearing a child together. A couple of people share the same bus route together. Two men build the same business together. You work. You work. Brother Owens here has a couples class. He loves the same couples I love. I'm trying to help them be their best, and he's trying to help them be their best. Now, we're not interested in who makes them their best. We're interested in their becoming their best. And that's why he boosts me and I boost him. And that's why we're close. Why? Because we love the same people. We're trying to build the same people. We're trying to keep together the same marriages. We're trying to help them rear the same children. But fellowship is a destroyer, and the quickest way to drift apart is to try to keep the enjoyment that you didn't get it trying to get it, and you won't keep it trying to keep it. You got it sharing the same yoke, and you'll keep it sharing the same yoke. I'm talking to couples now. I don't know who you are, but I promise you you're here. You're a little upset with another couple now because they don't go out with you as much as they used to, and they're going out with somebody else. In the first place, I want to say this to you. No two young couples ought to get too close with each other. You learn for your wife to be all you really have to have for fellowship, and you learn for your husband to be all you have to have fellowship. But you folks that every week or two you go out and eat together or go play together or something, you're going to break up. You're just going to break up. Because you're building a relationship on a world that's not real? Number 10, intimacy is caused by the emotional enjoyment of sharing the same yoke. Intimacy is caused by the emotional enjoyment of sharing the same yoke.
You don't love me anymore. Yes, I do. Well, you don't look like it. Well, you don't look so hot yourself.
Won't work. You get busy doing the same thing together. You get busy carrying the same yoke together. And one of these days you'll look over at her and you'll say, I like her. And she'll say, I like him. Because intimacy, listen to me. Intimacy is caused by the emotional enjoyment of sharing the same yoke. Now let me give you a little, follow me carefully. Here's what happened. I'm going to get on this bottom step down here. I think most of you can see me. Here it is. Brother Keith, come down here with me, would you please? I'm choosing you because we pulled that plow. I won't have to pull as much as I would if I chose Jeff Owens. I'd have to pull the whole thing. Okay, you and I are working together. Here's what we do. First, the yoke. Step up. The yoke. Now, as we bear the yoke, it turns to fellowship. Fellowship is the byproduct. Listen to me. Fellowship is the byproduct. So we bear the yoke, turns to fellowship. Now we have the yoke and fellowship. And then the yoke stops. We're not climbing anymore. We're just going to fellowship. So the yoke stops. That means now we have fellowship without the yoke. And that means the fellowship is destroyed because it was caused by the yoke. As long as we were walking up here pulling that yoke, we were close. Now then, we decided to stop the yoke and have fellowship. Because you see, the fellowship's more fun than work. So we work and get close, and then we enjoy being close so much, we just want to be close. We haven't got enough sense to understand that you got close by working together and you're going to stay close by working together. And so what happens? Then we're trying to recapture. What's wrong? We're not close anymore, are we? What do you think it is? We better go to the psychiatrist and find out what's wrong. But we're not close anymore. Wonder what it is. Now, what are we trying to do now? Same thing some of you folks are trying to do. You're trying to recapture the closeness that you had. But you can't recapture it unless you do the same thing that you did that made you close. And the best thing for us to do is not try to recapture our fellowship. Let's recapture our yoke. And in recapturing the yoke, we recapture the fellowship. Because the fellowship is the product of the yoke. But the yoke is what creates the fellowship. And the fellowship doesn't create closeness. The yoke creates closeness. We build a building together. Together we build a house. And we're close. Together we build a Sunday school class. And we're close. But then all of a sudden, and that's what happens to churches all across America. Thanks, Keith. That's what happened to churches all across America. They're dying tonight because they're trying to spend their life enjoying what was caused by work. One thing and I'm through. I was in Gainesville, Texas, preaching Monday and Tuesday. One of our graduates drove up to see me. Hey, listen. I'm on point 10, but I got the other 27 right here. Other 17 right here. Now, hear me carefully. He was excited. He's starting a church in Texas. And he said, "Preacher, I got some news for you. I want to be sure it's okay. Run it by you. I found a church building. Seats 1,000 on one floor, and it's got a balcony around it. And he said, it's got a little chapel over here that seats about 150. We can start over here in that little chapel. We'll never have to build. We'll never have to have a building program. And I can get it for $150,000, $1,000 a month. All the space we'll need, maybe ever. And we'll never need any space. For 20 years, we won't need any space." He said, "Boy, isn't that great?" I said, "It's the worst thing that could happen to you." He said, "I somehow thought you'd say that." He said, "I told my wife, that's probably what he's going to say." He said, "Why?" And I said, "Because unless you and your little church struggle together in a little storefront building, and then you find a little bit bigger, and you push this wall out over here, and you push that wall out over there, and you struggle together, and when you get up running 2,000 in Sunday school, the building's not waiting for you next door. You look at every part of that thing and said, we did this together." Mrs. Donald Trump, the new Mrs. Donald Trump, the temporary Mrs. Donald Trump, and Mr. Trump will never be close. There are couples that got married the same day they did that didn't have a knife and a fork or a saucepan or a plate. And every knife and fork and saucepan and plate they had, they got together. And that's one reason why Grandma and Grandpa stayed close so long. They struggled. They didn't have a shower where they got all their dishes and didn't send message down to Carson's and say, "This is what pattern we want." And folks walked in and said, "What pattern do they want? I don't even like that stuff. I don't care if you like what I'm saying or not. I'm telling you that we're spoiling a whole generation. We don't work together. We don't struggle together. We don't fight with each other, not against each other, but fight together against a common enemy with a common cause. And we're raising a bunch of people who know nothing about closeness, tell exactly why we've lost our struggle." Shall we stand, please?